paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Welcome to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Meliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio as the Blackhawks go into the Olympic break with a 4-0 shutout loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets over at Nationwide Arena. And let's go right back to Columbus and bring in Steve Conroy to, unfortunately, Steve, we have to break this game down because I got an hour-long post-game show, so this was going to be a fun one. Pretty difficult. Just your overall thoughts on this real barn burner between the Blackhawks and Blue Jackets.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Well, listen, first of all, the injuries didn't help. You know, Wyatt Kaiser going down, he's a top three defenseman, and Colton Dock, I know he's on the fourth line, but it upsets your chemistry, your rotation. I just didn't think their minds were really in it, and I don't know what it was. Connor Bedard did not have a good game. I know he had a couple of looks in that third period, but, you know, prior to that, we saw him lose the puck a couple of times, you know, and that's very, you know, uncharacteristic of him. I didn't see the team speed, especially through the neutral ice area. And, you know, credit the Columbus Blue Jackets for clogging up that area, because they know that Chicago is one of the fastest teams in the NHL. But it just they were stuck in mud. And, you know, I'd be guessing, but I'm just thinking, you know, maybe their mind was somewhere else. Maybe they were thinking about, you know, the time off they're going to get. So they deserve the break, though. It's been a condensed schedule for everybody, but they've been heavy lifting over the last month and a half here, and it's a well they're looking forward to it. Let's just say that. But I just think that, you know, that their mind wasn't really into this one because it was an uncharacteristic game for them.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, too, because Columbus played last night in New Jersey, so it was the second game of a back-to-back. You figure the Hawks are coming off that big win against the San Jose Sharks to snap a 5-game winless skid. Like, maybe the Blackhawks should have been coming into this game feeling a little loose about themselves and feeling good, and it was Columbus that really asserted their game early on in this one.
Well, I think that was the mindset, was let's take it to them early. I'm sure that was a game plan. It's like these guys, you know, they played last night. They've played 4 games in 6 nights, and you know, they beat us at home. It's payback time, and let's start early and start often. And it just didn't work out that way. It just seemed to be all Columbus early. Boy, I just thought Zach Werenski really took over the game early. First 4 shifts out there, something good was happening every time number was eight was on the ice. And then doesn't he end up scoring the first goal of the game? I know it was kind of a fluky goal, but, you know, that's what happens when you got it going on. It just seemed like Zach Werenski really had it going on. And that gives a team some confidence. They score the first goal, the crowd gets into it, and they get rolling. And then I think they probably look at it too, like, hey guys, let's lay it on the line here for 60 minutes. We're going to be off for 21 days, and, you know, we're going to have a 7-game winning streak, which, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets haven't done very often, especially over the last few years. So I think there's a new feeling in this team with Rick Bowness behind the bench, and he's given them some confidence, and they're feeling it right now. And the goaltenders are playing great, and they're getting some timely goal scoring up front, and it seems to be working out for them. So I think that first goal was a big one for them, and they just kind of took over from there.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Columbus now on a 7-game winning streak. They're 3 points now from the final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. They're probably feeling really good about their game, and ever since Rick Bowness did take over as head coach, they really do just feel like they have a different energy to their team. And so I wonder if how much that carried over, that even though they played last night, it was a 3-0 shutout victory over New Jersey, and when you're on a roll like you are, it's kind of easy to carry that over into the next game 24 hours later.
Well, that's a good point, and you mentioned three points out of a wild card spot. They're also just 2 points out of a top three spot in the Metropolitan. So they're only 3 points, make that 2 points behind the New York Islanders currently, and they do have a game in hand. So, you know, if they're going to make the playoffs, you know, because the Atlantic Division is doing so well and kind of running away with it, I think their best chance is probably to be one of the top three in the Metropolitan. So 2 points behind the Islanders, game in hand. And, yeah, feeling good about themselves. Last year, they came up just 2 points shy. You know, Montreal had that great run at the end of the season. Columbus was right there. They were just 2 points out of that final playoff spot. And of course, you know, Montreal ended up losing to Washington in the first round anyway. But that would have been a nice, you know, break for them. Maybe that's what got Dean Evason, you know, canned, because Dean Evason and the team, I think they lost four or five games when he finally was let go. They weren't performing the way they're performing now. So, Rick Bonus, I can tell you, because I had him as a coach. He's a player's coach. He's well liked in the dressing room. Dean Evason, I know, can rub people the wrong way. He's a taskmaster at times, and I think it's just fit this team's personality. It's the right coach at the right time. And as I mentioned to John Weideman during the broadcast, I would not, if they do make the playoffs, I would not want to play these guys in the first round.
You mentioned, you know, maybe some guys had one eye on the vacation, one eye on the game. I think it's human nature. When you were playing, whether going into a holiday break or the All-Star game, was it human nature for you and some of the teammates to think about that? And obviously, as you got older, I'm sure you were able to be you know, more of a professional, be mature about it. But maybe some of these young guys that, you know, have played a lot of hockey were kind of really antsy about, you know, the break that's coming up.
Yeah, it's funny you asked about that, because John Weideman asked me the same thing before we went on air. And I can remember, you know, we didn't have Olympic breaks back then, and it was an All-Star break. And, you know, surprise, surprise, I wasn't voted an All-Star, so I was going to have some time off during the All-Star break. And a bunch of us, I was with the New York Islanders, a bunch of us young guys went down to the U.S. Virgin Islands. It was Patrick Flatley, Gord Dineen, myself, there was one other guy. Oh, Richie Crum. So, you know, all single guys. And I can remember leading up to it, gosh, the planning that went into it, and, you know, getting the flights and getting the hotel accommodations. You do get distracted. And I can remember being, I think I was 23, 24 years old at the time, kind of being distracted before we left. So I'm not saying that that's what happened with the guys, but it just didn't seem. I was really looking forward to this game, because I thought the Blackhawks were heading in the right direction. I really liked their win against the San Jose Sharks. I thought that was a measuring stick game. I thought this was going to be a measuring stick game too, but they came up a little short. And the only thing I can think of, you know, right now, aside from the injuries early, is that, you know, maybe they were a little distracted. And, you know, a lot of teams could be distracted. I mean, the Columbus Blue Jackets, they've only got two guys going to the Olympics. So, you know, they could have very easily been distracted too, but they weren't. The Blackhawks didn't play their best, so I'm kind of blaming it on that.
Tonight wrapped up a 21 games in 40 days stretch for the Blackhawks, so they've just played a ton of hockey. How needed is this break for them, given everything that we talked about and some of the injuries and the stomach bugs that they dealt with within those 40 days of having 21 games jam-packed inside there?
Well, great point, as always. You know, there's so many guys in this team who played NCAA hockey, and they didn't play hockey, the amount of hockey that the NHLers played. AHL schedule is very, you know, centered around weekends, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday games, and so you get 3-4 days off in between. You know, even the KHL, where, you know, or European hockey, they're not playing the amount of hockey that these guys have played, as you mentioned, over the last 41 days. So, yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough sledding, and, you know, they deserve the break. And they're going to get it. They're literally going to be off the ice for 14 days. I think it's 18. It's going to be the 18th. So 14 days where they have to be back actually for a scheduled practice. I think they have an optional the day before on the 17th. But the 18th, they're going to be back on the ice. And, you know, Jeff Blashill told us this morning he's going to run it like a training camp. I think they go 2 or 3 days, then a day off, and then another 2 or 3 days. And he said it's going to be. It's going to be a little different, because he said at training camp, guys are skating all the time right up to training camp. He's pretty sure that these guys will not be skating up until the 17th, where they have an optional. So he said he's got to be really careful first few days of practice, because it's not like training camp where guys, you know, skate typically pretty hard leading into the first day of training camp. He said guys will be totally off, because, you know, sometimes guys aren't going to be able to get any ice, and then there's going to be the optional on the 17th. So he has to be careful of their practices, but they'll be well rested. I think it'll be like a mini training camp, and they'll get back on track. And I guess the good news is, you know, just one European, or make that one Olympian playing, and that would be Teuvo Teräväinen, Anders Sorensen won't be there either, but those guys will be well-rested and just raring to go.
Steve, I hope you get some well-rested as well and during the Olympic break, and hopefully we all come back refreshed on the other side of it. I was going to ask you, who do you like in the Olympics, but I don't want to make you late for the bus that is going back to Chicago, so I'm sending you off. Make sure that I'm not going to make you late, and we'll talk on the other side of the break.
Charlie, does Team Greece have a hockey team?
We're working on it, Steve. Yeah. We're working on it. Okay. I haven't gotten the call yet, but we'll see.
I know who you'd be cheering for. Yeah. Well, thanks, Charlie. Great job.
Awesome. All right, that's Steve Conroy from Nationwide Arena. The Blackhawks shut out for the fourth time this season against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I want to go through some of the goals right now. Early in the first period, it was 4:46 into the opening frame. Zach Werenski, who has just been sensational for the Columbus Blue Jackets, scored his 20th goal of the season. He's on pace for scoring 30 plus this year. Only two defensemen in the salary cap era have scored 30 or more goals among defensemen. One is Cale Makar, which he did last year with 30 goals, and then Mike Green did it early on with the Washington Capitals. I think he scored 31. So that's how impressive of a season Zach Werenski is having. However, he did get some luck in that first with that first goal. His shot that was intended to go directly on the net got deflected by Louis Crevier. I think it was his stick, and then it went off the right skate of Alex Vlasic and into the back of the net. I mean, just basically pinballed in behind Spencer Knight, who had no chance. Earlier, though, in that shift, Connor Bedard had, it was like a little bit of a rush chance, and his shot ended up going wide, and it rang all the way around the boards, and it kind of led to a rush chance for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And so it was kind of an unfortunate situation there. Like, if Connor Bedard's shot hits the net, it probably doesn't lead to that rush the other way, and maybe the Blackhawks are, maybe it's obviously a different game, but Hawks get unlucky with that first goal. Then in the second goal, Ivan Provorov scored with 7:10 left in the first period. Ryan Donato took a hit from Mason Marchman along the boards, and Donato did not seem like he liked that very much. He pops right back up, and he starts looking at Mason Marchman like he was kind of starting to line him up all the way from below the goal line. And then he realized that the puck was going to Marchman, so his eyes kind of lit up, and he wanted to go lay a really big hit. And that is one of the bigger hits that you'll see in the entire NHL. And Mason Marchman is a big boy. Like, it takes a lot to knock him down. And you could tell by it, because Donato got like a running start, knocks him down, but then Donato falls on the ground as well, because that's how big of a guy Mason Marchman is. Unfortunately, though, Donato, I think he turned around and thought that the Hawks were getting ready to clear the puck. So he goes off the ice for a line change, and that's why there was so much open ice on that second goal. He goes off whoever jumped on for Ryan Donato wasn't able to get on time to defend wherever that open ice was. Ivan Provorov scores to make it 2-0. Then later in that period, Spencer Knight made a terrific save. Connor Bedard, I thought he had a tough game tonight. This certainly wasn't one of his better games. He turned the puck over in the offensive blue line. It led to a 3-on-1 the other way. I can't remember who the third guy was, but Kent Johnson and Sean Monahan were essentially going back and forth. Kent Johnson was coming up the right hand side. He gives it over to Sean Monahan. Monahan gives it back to Kent Johnson, and Spencer Knight makes a terrific left pad save to keep that score at 2-0. The reason I mention that is because when we got to the second period, the Hawks had a power play 2 minutes and 55 seconds in. If the Hawks score there and they trim it to 2-1, it's a whole different feel of the game. But unfortunately, the Hawks are only generated two shot attempts, two shots on goal, one scoring chance, one high danger chance. I didn't think it was pretty, like, by any stretch. And so I listed off the numbers, but it really didn't feel like the Blackhawks got a ton of great looks. If the Hawks end up scoring there, it's just a different feel. And we know how difficult the power play has been this season, especially as of late, what the drought was, snapping the 0-for-27 drought against the San Jose Sharks on Monday. So they don't score there. Then Columbus ends up scoring right after the Blackhawks power play is killed off from Columbus. Danton Heinen makes it 3-0 with 14:42 left. And man, like at that point, now the Hawks are just chasing the game. So the reason I kind of highlight those two plays, the Spencer Knight, the terrific save late in the first period. I thought maybe that was going to give the Blackhawks some life in the first intermission, knowing like their goaltender is on his A game. And then the Hawks failed to score on that power play. It goes 3-0. Man, even that third goal was just a little troublesome because it was a self-inflicted wound. Nick Foligno tried passing the puck to Ryan Donato, and it looked like it was going to be a clear exit, but the pass went into the skates of Donato. The puck ends up staying in into the offensive zone, and then Danton Heinen scores. And then the one thing I have, well, I guess prior to the next two power plays for the Blackhawks, Connor Bedard hit the post, but it looked like the puck kind of flubbed on him, and so he didn't really get all of it. If he scores there, makes it 3-1, maybe it's a different game. But then fast forward to later on in the second period, the Hawks get back-to-back power plays, essentially kind of like within a 5-minute span. And the Hawks don't do much with the first one, just 2 shot attempts. They did have 6 shot attempts, 3 shots on goal, 4 scoring chances, and 1 high danger chance on the third one, but they don't score on either of those two. And when the Hawks don't score there, it's 3-0. You get 3 power plays in the game. At that point, Columbus still had not gotten a single power play in the game. And it just feels like it was going to be a significant uphill battle for the Blackhawks the rest of the way, because they're down 3-0. They've already had 3 power plays. Columbus had 0. Hawks didn't capitalize on any of their power plays. And it was just like it's very rare do teams get 4 more power plays unless things go really sideways. And so, you know, I just kind of a couple star moments from there, the Spencer Knight save, then the 3 power plays that the Blackhawks had. And even all three goals that I mentioned, just feels like we're very self-inflicted wounds, very preventable. I guess you can kind of ignore the first one because it was just so fluky. But it's not like there was some breakdown where the Hawks gonna have to like go to the film and be like, you know, what are we doing here? It was just a kind of a pinball machine. Then the second goal, the hit, Donato goes off. You know, that's why there was the open ice, and then obviously the failed exit by the Blackhawks in that second period that led to the third goal. And then you get to the third period. You know, Alex Vlasic hits the post early on. There's a 4-on-4 opportunity. The Blackhawks aren't able to kind of do anything with that open ice with Bedard and Moore on the line. Hawks go on the penalty kill, and then, you know, by that point, the game is essentially over. Credit to Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill for pulling the goaltender with like 5.5 minutes left to just give his team a prayer. Unfortunately, that didn't work. Columbus scores the empty netter with 4:27 left to make it 4-0, and the rest is history. So just a tough way for the Blackhawks to go into the into the Olympic break, because I felt like after putting up a 6 spot on the San Jose Sharks on Monday, especially given the offensive output, like when you have a game where everyone's getting their cookies and you got like 9 different players that were on the score sheet, you had a third line that combined for 10 points, with Donato had 4 with 2 goals and 2 assists, Mikheyev with a goal and 3 assists, Dickinson with 2 assists. Like, those guys aren't used to scoring or having those big offensive nights, and they did that on Monday against San Jose. And so you figured the Hawks would come into this game with some momentum, even though they have played a ton of hockey lately with 21 games in 40 days. I thought the Hawks were going to put together a better effort, but unfortunately they weren't able to do so in this game. We do have some sound that has rolled in from the Blackhawks locker room, so we're going to get to that and hear what some of the guys had to say after this loss when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Abreu clears to center ice. Time ticks off the clock. And Jack Greaves has stopped them all here tonight. He picks up his 2nd shutout of the season, the 4th of his career, as the Blue Jackets win tonight 4-0 over the Blackhawks. They also win the season series. 2 wins against no losses.
Back on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks shut out by the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-0 going into the Olympic break. The Columbus Blue Jackets back-to-back shutouts in as many days. They shut out the New Jersey Devils last night 3-0. And then they shut out the Chicago Blackhawks tonight 4-0. I'm looking at the kind of the stats for this game. There's a a cool X account on Twitter called Hockey Stat Cards, and they tweet out kind of a graphic, like a game score breakdown every single game. You know what went poorly when there's only three players on the Blackhawks that had a positive number? It was Landon Slaggard. He was a .20. Jason Dickinson, .11, and then Sam Rinzell was at .12. They were the only three Blackhawks that finished positive in this one. So, you know, things went really sideways for Chicago. Let's Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno made his return to the lineup in this game. He missed the last couple because of an undisclosed injury. Sounds like it was separate from what he was dealing with earlier in the year when he suffered the hand/wrist injury that kept him out of the lineup for like 5 or 6 weeks. So he returned to the lineup to face his former Blue Jackets team where he was the longtime captain. Let's hear what he had to say after this 4-0 shutout loss to Columbus.
What did you see out there today?
Not good enough all the way around, right? Just didn't have the urgency, didn't have the compete level that we needed to have. So it's disappointing, especially going into a break where you're going to have tons of time to probably chew on this one. It's not a good feeling, right? So I think just the maturity of our game, right? We just were immature in how we needed to come in here and play and have a statement of like we're, you know, we're starting to build, and tonight wasn't it, and it's disappointing to a man, everyone.
You feel like you guys have hit a wall right now?
Nah, that's an excuse, man. Everyone's playing a lot of games. These guys play back to back, so like that's, you know, we're fighting to be a relevant team, to be in the mix here, and you can't have an effort like that.
Did Wyatt and Colton's injuries kind of add to the maybe taking the air out of things?
It's just the next, you know, it's the way it works. You got injuries in games and you got to play shorthanded, and I just don't think we played smart enough to handle those, right? And you get injured that early on, we got to help our D out and be a little more assertive as forwards and get pucks in their end and wear them down so our D aren't feeling under pressure, and we just didn't do that enough in the first period. And you know, it's not fun to lose guys, but we played shorthanded before.
You think the freeze is a much-needed step back for the team?
Sorry?
Do you think the Olympic freeze is a much-needed step back for the
team? No, honestly, I'd rather play after that one. To be honest, we were playing tomorrow night. Yeah, I think it's good for everybody. I think it's important if we use it wisely that we'll come back with a ton of energy and, you know, make sure we have a good push here and use the practice time that we have to get better. I mean, that's where we're trying to become a great team in here, and we obviously have some steps we need to take. So it's probably a good reset for everybody right now to get ready, get motivated for this last little bit of push here.
You guys have 25 games when you get back. Where do you kind of feel like you guys stand and what needs to be done when you get back?
Oh, we got to go on a run, let's be honest, right? Like we're in it, but we're not, you know, so we got to make sure we get on the gas as soon as we can when we come back. So I'm excited about getting back with the group and getting a really good few weeks practice in and then rolling. And I think we play all our division coming out of the break, right? So a huge opportunity to gain some points and just start building and becoming that team. I'm not saying it's like, you know, to win now. It's just having that mindset. Like, look at these guys have done, right? Over here, how many wins in a row to get themselves back in the picture? So we're going to need to understand that, but it's going to come from our process. And that's where I think we're going to hammer down, I'm sure. Blaschik will talk about it, just getting back to what makes us good, and maybe that practice time will really help us.
This game is still special for you coming back?
Yeah, it always is. I mean, it's a special place. It holds a real special place in my heart. It's a place I care about a lot, and I've had a lot of great memories here, good people here, and the city, this fan base. So, you know, nice to come back, just wish we played a little bit better.
All right, that was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. I want to elaborate on what he was saying, but first let's pause really quick for station ID. All right, back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. We just heard from Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno, and the CHSN cameras panned to Foligno leaving the game after the final buzzer hit, and he was not happy. He was slamming his stick going into the tunnel. It was really frustrated by the overall team's performance. And even listening to that clip, Foligno is usually he's an upbeat kind of guy, likes to keep things loose inside the locker room. He's always laughing, smiling, you know, just a really fun person to be around. But you can tell in his voice and the way that he was responding to the questions how frustrated he was by his team's performance tonight. And I think this one stings even more so for him because he was the longtime captain here for the Columbus Blue Jackets, had a lot of great years here. you know, I know it's my understanding that him and his family are going to be settling down here in Columbus area after, you know, whenever Nick Foligno does retire. And so this had to be a frustrating performance for him. And I think the reason, well, frustrating performance for the entire team, not just for him. And I do wanted to shout out the fact that Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill put Nick Foligno out there for the opening faceoff to start the game. He also did it with Connor Murphy as well, because Connor Murphy, he grew up in the Columbus area. But I thought it was noteworthy that Foligno ended up returning for this game when he was dealing with an injury that probably he should be resting going into the Olympic break. Like there probably wasn't much incentive for Foligno to want to play in this game and, you know, maybe just kind of shut it down and make sure that he heals the injury that he is dealing with. But the fact that he played in this game, not at 100%, shows me that he really wanted to play in this game, because it very well could be his final time playing in Columbus versus the Blue Jackets, where, you know, we're not exactly sure what the future for Foligno is going to hold. And coming out of the Olympic break, the NHL trade deadline is on March 6th. The Hawks' next game coming out of the Olympic break is February 26th. So it is going to be go time, like a week and a half away for the NHL trade deadline, whenever the roster freeze gets lifted. And so that's when I think we're going to probably get a better understanding of where Nick Foligno's head is at. And the reason why I bring it up is because earlier in the year, Nick Foligno suffered that hand/wrist injury on November 15th against the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was originally put on a 4-week timetable, and he was kind of getting, he didn't return on that 4-week timetable. It kind of took him a while to actually get back. He joined the Blackhawks on the 3-game road trip in Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa. And he didn't play in either of those games, but I think he was really wanting to push to play in the Ottawa game, but he just was not healthy enough to do so. And the reason I think he wanted to push in that Ottawa game is because that's the team that drafted him. That's where he started his NHL career. He was a first-round pick in 2006 by the Ottawa Senators. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to play in that game because of the injury. But the fact that he then wanted to play in this game against the Columbus Blue Jackets, I wonder if we're kind of seeing some tea leaves that this could be Nick Foligno's final year in the NHL. So just something to monitor. I thought, coupled with the frustration that we saw from Nick Foligno leaving the ice and him talking about how special it is to always be back here in Columbus, I wonder if that played a little bit of a role. But as far as what he said, though, about the team's performance, I agree with him as far as saying, you know, there was some immaturity in the game, right? When you're a young player and you have one eye on vacation, you know, a lot of these guys are probably going to go somewhere warm. They're going to have their golf clubs out. They're going to get away from the game as far away as they can to make sure that they're resting both physically and mentally. And for the Hawks to come out with a performance like this is obviously just not good enough. And you can't use it as an excuse, because the Columbus Blue Jackets played the night before, and this was their final game going into the break too. So they had every reason or every excuse that the Blackhawks did to not have it as just have some tired legs. And so Columbus seemed pretty well rested in this game. Like they were buzzing along, and I know they're higher up in the standings and they're actually making a playoff push. They recently made a coaching change that has really changed the energy of their team. And so that obviously has played a factor for them, but, you know, disappointing effort by the Blackhawks tonight. And you heard it in Nick Foligno's voice as well. All right, let's get to the other player that spoke, Teuvo Teravainen. He's going to be the lone representative for the Blackhawks in the Olympics, representing Team Finland. Let's hear what Teravainen had to say after this game.
Seems just not much went right for you guys.
Yeah, not our best for sure. Not happy about that game. I feel like everyone can be better, including me.
What, I guess, turning attention to the Olympics, to, I guess there's some excitement for you to kind of head off and get a chance to compete in that?
Yeah, for sure. I feel bad right now after the lost game, but I'm sure the excitement levels are getting really, really high in a few days here, so it's going to be awesome, and yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Feel good to have the whole locker room support as you get sent off to
Milan. Yeah, for sure. Everybody's cheering for me, I guess. So I'm happy about that. A lot of good teammates here, and they're cheering for me.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Teuvo Teravainen, who will be off to Milan to represent Team Finland at the upcoming Olympics. Blackhawks assistant coach Anders Sorensen will also be heading to the Olympics. He's going to be on Team Sweden's coaching staff. Side note, Teravainen was dealing with the injury, missed, I think, 7 or 8 games, ended up returning to the lineup. But I've noticed a theme around the NHL lately where a lot of players that have been dealing with an injury that have been out for a fairly extended period of time have recently returned to the lineup. And I think it's because they want to play like 1 or 2 NHL games prior to going to the Olympics. And so I think there are going to be a lot of NHL players that are going to the Olympics, not at 100%. Just some of the names that have been dealing with injuries: Braden Point, he's still been out for Tampa Bay. Devon Taves for the Colorado Avalanche, he missed 12 games because of an injury. He just returned to the lineup a few days ago for the Colorado Avalanche. Brad Marchand has been dealing with an injury essentially all season long for the Florida Panthers. He returned to the lineup tonight for Florida, and he was a surprise return. He wasn't expected to as well. Anton Lundell was dealing with an injury. He returned to the lineup today as well. William Nylander has been nursing a groin injury. He missed, I think, 7 or 8 games for the Maple Leafs. Ended up returning to the lineup the other day. Victor Hedman has missed a lot of time for the Tampa Bay Lightning with an elbow injury. Anthony Cirelli has been banged up. He will not be representing Team Canada in the Olympics because of that injury. Sam Bennett is his replacement, and then Sam Bennett has gotten dinged up as well. So a lot of players are dealing with injuries, and I wonder if Teuvo Teravainen too is probably, you know, still battling whatever injury bothered him a few weeks ago because he wants to be out there representing Team Finland. So I think the break is coming at a really good time for the Blackhawks, because I imagine there are a lot of players that are nursing some bumps and bruises that we don't really get to see from the naked eye, but maybe this is going to really benefit the entire team. But curious to see, also just kind of side note, watching the Olympics, how many healthy guys are actually going to be there and performing at a high level, because it just feels like a lot of guys are going to be muscling through some injuries over in Milan, just wanting to represent their countries. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including the postgame thoughts from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks fall to the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-0 going into the Olympic break. Time now to get to tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. The Ice Times were a little bit out of whack today because the Hawks had a couple of injuries that they had to power through. So it was Sam Rinzell leading the way in the ice time department for Chicago at 25 minutes and 42 seconds. That is not a career high. He actually has logged more than that. Even this season, he logged 25 minutes and 58 seconds in the home opener against the Montreal Canadiens on October 11th. So he just falls short of hitting a season high. But Rinzell was the guy that ended up getting a ton of the workload because of the injury to Wyatt Kaiser, which happened early in the game, where Kaiser took just 3 shifts. He just had 2 minutes and 7 seconds of ice time, so he was gone for the game. Alex Vlasic ended up logging 24 minutes and 32 seconds of ice time. And then a bunch of others, or a few others, had more than 20-plus minutes. Connor Murphy at 20:57, Matt Grzelcyk 21:52, and then Connor Bedard led the way among forwards at 22:07. He was the only forward on the Blackhawks that finished with more than 20 minutes of ice time. So he was out there quite a ton for the Blackhawks. All right, let's get to Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill and hear what he had to say and the injury updates that he has provided on Wyatt Kaiser and Colton Dock, who left the game early in this one.
Do you have any idea extent of Kaiser and Dock?
If we were playing tomorrow, Doc wouldn't play, but he'd be, you know, kind of day-to-day-ish. Kaiser would be out for a little bit. So, Kai's, I don't want to put out an exact timeline. We'll know more, after kind of getting examined tomorrow. But we'll see after the break.
Seemed like a game where just not much went right for the guys.
Yeah, but, you make your breaks. It was a fairly low event. I thought there's a level of kind of urgency, alertness that we didn't have, that we need to have. It's just every game matters, man. And I just thought there was just a little bit from too many guys that didn't have their the urgency level. Again, you're not always going to feel your best, but you got to have the urgency level. I didn't think we quite had that tonight. I can't say that's happened very often with this team, to be honest with you. But I just didn't, it wasn't like we didn't work. I'm not saying that, but that little level of extra urgency to make sure that you're either, corralling a pass, handling a pass, driving the net, winning a battle, those things weren't quite there.
Do you think it's a level of mental fatigue that you have?
I honestly don't know. I know that they care. I know it's a good group. So sometimes, if it's mental fatigue, I honestly don't know.
I know you've been rotating those young guys whose hits. Was there any specific reason why Green?
Greener's played good hockey for us. He's going to play good hockey again for us. He's a good player. There's a couple things we want him to correct, and so it gives him a chance to kind of have urgency to make sure that he's making the corrections that he needs to make, and he'll get back out there when the break's over here.
How close to 100% has Bedard been for this stretch? I mean, you mentioned that after the break you might be able to take faceoffs. Do you think just having those extra 3 weeks to heal up more could be helpful for him too?
Yeah, we'll see. I think the plan is when he gets back to start taking faceoffs. I think when you're not taking faceoffs ever, it kind of puts you on the wall a lot. And ultimately, I think he's a natural centerman. I can't speak to like the level of, I know he's healthy enough to play. And so at that point, you're 100% if you're out there playing. You got to play like you're 100%. And outside of the faceoffs, I think I haven't noticed anything else.
Do you have any thoughts on what you want to focus on when you get back? Or are you going to kind of contemplate over the next few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I have thoughts, but again, it kind of gives you a chance to reset some fundamental things. I think there's areas, that we are looking to improve offensively that I think we got to make sure we do a good job with when we get back. I think you got to kind of reset your systems a little bit, just in a sense of get guys ready to play without thinking. So if we can go through drills that get us ready to be able to, when that puck drops in Nashville, play without thinking and still be a good five-man unit, I think that's important. So we'll evaluate all that stuff and then have the plan coming back. Thank you.
All right, that's Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. Good and bad news. Encouraging news that the Colton Dock injury is a day-to-day thing and that he won't miss some time. Obviously, it sounds like he's just going to be okay in a few days. But on the flip side, Wyatt Kaiser, I guess maybe it's a good news. It didn't sound like it's potentially season-ending for Wyatt Kaiser, just judging by Jeff Blashill's comments. Just looking at the play, so Sam Renzel pushes Zach Werenski, and he falls onto the left leg of Wyatt Kaiser. The way that it happened, I think everyone's mind immediately goes to, oh no, don't, I hope it's not an ACL injury. But when it's kind of like a side injury like that, that might be more of an MCL thing. So I wonder if it's going to be more of like a 4 to 6 week or 6 to 8 week potential injury, depending on, the grade strain. Hopefully that's the case. Now I don't know if maybe Jeff Blashill would have known, today that, or I guess after the initial tests, whether it was potentially a season ending injury for Wyatt Kaiser, but the fact that he just said he's going to miss some time, feels like it's more of a non-season ending injury. So I guess that might be the encouraging part. And so then you saw a bunch of Blackhawks, have to step up in his absence. And so the Hawks essentially played with 11 forwards and 5 defensemen. And, even Ryan Donato, the Hawks just felt unlucky in this game where Ryan Donato ends up colliding with his own player, Ilya Mikheyev, and feels like he skated off gingerly. And I don't even know who was healthy in this game for the Blackhawks, but just all around, probably just a disappointing performance. Last thing I want to talk about, you mentioned earlier, Nick Foligno really wanted to push to return for this game to face his former Columbus Blue Jackets team that he was a longtime captain for. And I thought it was noteworthy that he really wanted to play in this game, and he was really frustrated that the CHSN cameras caught him down the tunnel by this performance. Like, I wonder if this could be Foligno's final year. The fact that he really wanted to return for this game, you know, and make it a priority. But how about Connor Murphy as well? Jeff Blashill throws out Nick Foligno and Connor Murphy for the opening faceoff, knowing that it's Foligno's former team and Connor Murphy from the Columbus area. It sounds like Murphy is actually going to hang around Columbus for a couple of days, so he's not even going to get on the team charter and fly back home with them. He's going to visit with some family for a couple of days before really going on a break. But I want to give flowers to Connor Murphy and the impact that he's had with the Blackhawks. Last Friday, he skated in his 800th career NHL game, fittingly against the same Columbus Blue Jackets at the United Center. He's been playing much better hockey as of late. His ice time in November, December was like 12 to 13 minutes per game. Now he's been averaging more, you know, 19, 20, 21, you know, even 22 minutes a night. And he also has been contributing offensively. He had 4 goals in his last 14 games prior to tonight after having 0 in his previous 42. But the reason I want to give Connor Murphy flowers is the last game on Monday for the Blackhawks at against the San Jose Sharks, that very well could have been his last game at the United Center as a member of the Blackhawks, because the Hawks don't play again at the United Center until March 6th. That is trade deadline day. And so the trade deadline is going to be happening earlier in the day. And so coming out of the break, the Hawks are playing Nashville, Colorado, Utah, and Winnipeg. The Hawks have 4 games coming out of the Olympic break. And so Connor Murphy's time with Chicago is likely winding down. And boy, oh boy, he's meant so much to this organization, has had so many trying times with this Blackhawks team. You know, as he got traded there near the end of the dynasty era, then have to embarking on a wholesale rebuild for the Blackhawks. And then the arrow is finally pointing up, and it feels like he's not going to be around to kind of see it through. But he was such a pro, and he has been such a pro from start to finish. Like Seth Jones, we all know what happened with him last year, where he's like, this is not what I signed up for. I want to go to a contender. Hawks accommodated that. If there's one player on the Blackhawks that maybe deserved, or you would understand for him to kind of speak out and say, hey, I would like to be moved to a contender, it would probably be Connor Murphy, who has been with this team since the 2017 season. And not once did you hear him complain about his situation, and it, like, he was always a professional about it and always has been. And tonight's game, he skated in his 543rd game with the Blackhawks. That's the 13th most ever by a Blackhawks defenseman in the regular season, 36th among all players in Blackhawks history in the regular season. The two notable names this is more than: Marian Hossa, who played 534 regular season games with the Blackhawks, and Jeremy Roenick, 524 games with Chicago. So Connor Murphy has been around longer than them. And so while he wasn't here for any of the winning times, I wish he was. And I think his impact should not go unnoticed, both on the ice and off of the ice. Boy, wearing that A on his sweater, like he has been such a leader for this franchise. And quite honestly, there's a part of me that really wants to see him get traded, because I want to see him play meaningful hockey. I mean, he's played 800 plus games in the entire NHL, and he has not sniffed the postseason. The one postseason that he did participate in was the COVID year, but the Blackhawks got in as essentially the 12th team, and they upset the Edmonton Oilers. Then they lost in the bubble to the Vegas Golden Knights. So it really wasn't a real postseason. So I kind of dismissed that. And a part of me would really like to see Connor Murphy and his game, the what he brings on the ice and what he would bring off of the ice as well. I think the city of Chicago would be rooting for him wherever he ends up going. And I quite honestly don't even care what the return is for the Blackhawks, because I think I just want to see Connor Murphy go to a contender. I imagine the city of Chicago feels the same way. And so just wanted to throw my flowers to Connor Murphy, because coming out of the Olympic break, I'm not sure how much time he's going to be here because the NHL roster freeze went into effect earlier today. It's going to be lifted right out of the Olympic break, and it feels like right when the Olympics end and that roster freeze is lifted, I imagine there's going to be a lot of league movement right away because the trade deadline is going to be approaching very fast. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show, the Hawks shut out by the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-0. But enough of that. We had an hour long post game show. So let's look ahead to something brighter and time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Let's go over to the Rockford Ice Hogs. While the Blackhawks are going to be going away for the next couple weeks as the Olympics go on, the Rockford Ice Hogs season will continue and AHL All-Star Game will be held in Rockford next week on February 11th, which is Wednesday. The day before, on February 10th, is going to be the skills competition. Kevin Korchinski and Nick Lardis will be the representatives for the Ice Hogs. Korchinski has 22 points in 41 games this season for Rockford, and Lardis has 27 points, 14 goals, 13 assists in 26 games. So he's averaging more than a goal per game in the AHL. Really curious to see which skills competition Lardis participates in. Gotta be some sort of shooting drill. And I would wager my money that Lardis is going to be among the top finishers and whatever that is. All right. Time for our next game preview sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are not going to be in action until February 26th. That's 22 days from now after the Olympic break, against the Nashville Predators at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. Pregame show will be at 6:30. Game is at 7 o'clock Chicago time. Hawks are going to be starting a four-game road trip right out of the break, and it sounds like the Hawks are prepared to practice for a full week prior to the game. I think the Hawks said they're going to practice for 6 days. It might be like a couple days here, off day, then a couple days more before they really gear up against the Nashville Predators. So it'll essentially be a mini training camp against the Nashville Predators team that is a different team that we saw in the first half of the season, if that makes sense. They have really turned things around in the second half. I'm looking at the score right now. They're playing the Minnesota Wild, and Steven Stamkos has yet another goal for the Nashville Predators. So we'll see. The last time the Blackhawks were there, January 10th, a 3-0 victory. That was the Drew Commesso shutout game in his first NHL win. Hopefully the stomach bug doesn't rip through the Blackhawks again, but I imagine the Hawks are going to have more of a healthy roster when they play them on February 26th. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Eli Burke. They were led by our engineer, our fearless Colonel Brett Jackson. For John Weideman and Steve Conrad, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 4-0 loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you after the Olympic break.